I'd like to greet everybody in the worthy name of Jesus.
I look forward to spending another evening with you as we discuss how we can be fruitful as people, as individuals, concerning our finances. And I struggle a little bit with this because we're talking to some of the wealthiest people in the world. And I was struggling with how do we speak about this subject if we are so wealthy. But then I discovered that maybe it isn't as difficult if we're willing to follow the plan. See, if we have the DNA of Jesus in us, we can only become holiness. And we can only follow the pattern that is in that DNA. So, if you're willing, we'll just follow the Bible. We'll just follow the blueprint. And I think that's a safe way to go. If we are convinced that the Bible is true, then we're safe. And I think we can discuss this subject and we can be a help to each other. And I hope that we can become fruitful in our finances. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." So if we have the fear of the Lord, we are indeed very rich and blessed. And I trust that's the way we find ourselves tonight. I thought it a little bit of a coincidence. I'm not sure if Myron set this up or not, but it wasn't my intentions to preach to you about finances and giving the night before the offering, so don't let that influence you. But give as the Lord lays on your heart. A man once told Spurgeon, he said, I think it was before he was ready to preach, he said, and he was going to, let me just read the quote. It says, "One said to a minister who preached a sermon, after which there was to be a collection, 'You should preach to our hearts, and then you would get some money.' The minister replied, 'Yes, I think that is very likely, for that is where you keep your money.'" And that's what I would like to discuss tonight. Where is our money? Where is it? It's a reality because we need it and we must use it through this life. But where is it? Where is it stored? I'd like to read a passage in Deuteronomy 8, if you want to turn there. It talks a little bit about the danger of money. And I think when we see money, if we look at money, what do you feel? By the way, that was not my pile. But it's money. And what do you think when you think of the wealth that is in your bank account, your savings account, in your wallet? Whatever wealth that you have accumulated, how is your heart towards that? And we recognize the way, or we recognize it has a way to change our heart about God and trusting God. I think it's something that's not new. It's something that has been around for a long time. People have needed to deal with their wealth for a long time. And that's what it talks about here in Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read the first 20 verses. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart. whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So here he was also looking what was in their hearts. And he had provided them for them miraculously during those 40 years. And it talks about that. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell those 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Hasn't the Lord provided for us? And I don't know what your financial journey was, but I'm sure it wasn't always easy. I'm sure there's times where you had to say, I'm not sure where it's going to come from this month. There's a lot of older brothers here, older families. Maybe you're past that stage. But there's also some young people here. And just recently, we had to deal with this a little bit. God, how are you providing for us here? And we need to trust him. He is providing. He takes care of those that fear him. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of hills and valleys, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware, and this is our warning, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, that so us. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. How is our heart condition? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before you, your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So let's recognize the danger. Let's be aware what money can do when things go well, when we are in a land of prosperity in which we are. So I think we must face the realities that the riches that we have change our attitudes. It changes our need to trust in God. It's easy to depend on our own wealth. Let's read 1 Timothy 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So it's our choice. We have to recognize and choose where our money is, and then we can deal with it appropriately. So I think we also recognize that money is a gift. It's a blessing. It's not a bad thing in itself. So God does bless us with those resources. And I think one of the best ways, and we're going to spend most of our evening talking about this, one of the best ways to see where our heart is to see where our money goes. So we can trust, or we can check ourselves and see, where is my heart concerning my wallet? I like this verse. I kind of skipped over those. We must recognize our wealth for what it is. It isn't ours. See, God trusted us with much, with many resources. And like we read last night, we need to give account of our stewardship. So where are our finances going? Proverbs 23, verse 4, it says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And all we can say is adios, because it's gone. And how we feel when we see our money leaving, if we get frustrated and, okay, what's happening with my money, then it's probably time to check our heart and see if it isn't perhaps too much part of my life and I'm no longer trusting God. There's just one way that our earthly wealth will have any eternal value. And that is if we store it in the correct place. We need to put our treasures in heaven. And we know the story of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and saying, what can I do? What can I do to be saved? He wanted eternal life. What did Jesus say? Let me read it. He saith unto them, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which, Jesus? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, and I wonder how he did all this, all these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor. Ouch. And the young man turned away sorrowful because he liked his money. He stored it in his heart, and it got him into trouble. Where's your money? It goes on to say, again, I say unto you, it is easier. Before that, it said, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's true. Some people, and I don't know how you interpret that, the eye of the needle, and some people say that it's a small door you can get through if you, I don't know how the theory goes, but I would like to take it literally tonight. If you allow the riches, the blessings that God gave you, and He made you stewards over it, if you allow those things to become your love, it's very unlikely. You're not getting into heaven unless you repent and you give it back to God. We can only take it with us if we send it ahead of us, if we give it away. I'm going to ask a lot of questions tonight. Then we're going to look at the Bible and see if we can answer them. I'd like to allow you, if you have any thoughts, to feel free to give me some input. Because I think it's a subject where we need to learn with each other. And I could definitely learn from you. So, let's first look at why do I give? Why do I give? And maybe before we get in this too deeply, I got a lot of this content from Gary Miller's God's Will in Finances, or God's Will, yeah, I think that's the title, God's Will in Finances book. It's a very helpful book. If you're trying to sort through your finances, get some books to read and study it, comparing it with the Bible. It's very helpful. It has helped us to have a vision of how we can have our finances in a way that it glorifies God. So why do you give? Why do we give? I'd like to read a story that was in the book, God's Will for Finances. On November 19, 1854, Sam Houston was baptized into the Rock Creek Church just outside Independence, Texas. Sam was over 60 years old and had earned a reputation of being a coarse and belligerent man. He had lived a hard life, and though his wife had been a believer for years, Sam hadn't felt the need to make such a commitment. Those who knew Sam well said the day of his baptism was a great turning point in his life. Whereas before he had been argumentative and difficult to get along with, after his declaration of faith, he became much more gentle and content. It made a difference in his life, just like we know it makes a difference in our life. Immediately after Sam's baptism, something else happened which shocked those who knew him well. After the service, Sam told the church leaders he would like to start paying half the local ministry's monthly salary. When his friends asked him why, Sam's reply was, "You see, my pocketbook was baptized too." We don't know much about Sam Houston's relationship with the Lord, but his statement shows he had one thing right. True conversion will transform every part of a man, right down to his pocketbook. In fact, judging from the number of times Jesus taught about money, we could easily conclude that a man's pocketbook is one of the first places that changes will occur. See, because money is such an important part of our life, we handle it most every day. Therefore, we have opportunity most every day to give it away and reap the blessings of true riches. Just today, somebody blessed me. We walked over to Laps and Ben treated us to ice cream. That was probably not a very big sacrifice for him. Maybe $10. But it blessed me tremendously. And I'm sure he received blessings from it too. Just giving. The beauty of giving. Did you ever feel the beauty of just giving? It's something that cannot be replaced or substituted with anything else. When we learn the beauty of pouring ourselves out for our brothers and sisters and for the people we meet, it's a wonderful thing. But if you're here and you say, "Okay, I give my money and that should be good. I give 10%. We'll talk more about 10% later. But I give a little bit, and you justify yourself. You don't care about the people you are giving it to. There's no purpose in giving other than just because God says we should give. And the preachers say, yeah, you need to give. And you teach your little children, yeah, you have to give. And I see parents giving their small children cash. This is for tonight to put in the offering. And that's good. God bless you for that. But if they grow up and they just give just because we always had to, then the blessing is departed. There's no blessing in that. But when they see and feel the beauty of giving because they love somebody, then they can feel the blessings, and it's a reward from God. If we just give just because we have to, we're just like the Pharisees. Luke 11, verse 41 says, But rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So if we are so precise on just making sure we get the bare minimum covered, and we pass over the important things, we forget to love people, we forget to share the love of God, we are indeed miserable. When we become converted, we should become aware of the needs around us. And as the Spirit moves us, we can give. We can give freely and share our resources, and God will bless that. 2 Corinthians 9, it says, But I say this, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God sees it. It's a fruit he's looking for in your life. And when you give cheerfully because you love to give, then God's going to say, that's a wow fruit. That's the fruit I'm looking for in a Christian. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You can't buy the blessings of God. There's many businesses that, well, they use giving as tax benefits. And some businesses do it in hopes of pleasing God or pleasing themselves, gratifying their own self. They stand on the corners and they ring the bell, and everybody knows that they gave $1 million to this project. I don't think that's God's. God won't bless that. You can't buy God's blessing by making sure you are giving. But when you give out of a generous heart, you give cheerfully, then God will bless you. We can see that in the example of Abraham very clearly. So we give. Why do I give? I give because the Holy Spirit causes me to see the needs around me. And I respond according to that. And out of the generosity of my heart, I give cheerfully. Where should I give? I don't know if you've had to deal with this. I'm not sure where to put my money. And that might be more so for people that want to donate and give large amounts of money. It might be more difficult for people that want to give large amounts of money. Where do we give it? We need God's wisdom. And like I said, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to lead us. This is how we do it. I like to have a mission or missions to support and a place that we know there's always a need for money. They will always have a need for money, and they are able to distribute it in a way that it is kingdom building, and it will help somebody that is in need. And then I like to make sure I have tithing money or money to give so I can give spontaneously. So whenever I see a need, I can say, here, I'll pay your bill. I can help you here. And we can give spontaneously. I think that's where the joy of giving becomes a reality. If we learn to give spontaneously, out of the generosity of your heart, you just give. There's much joy in that, and I encourage you to do that. I think in the Old Testament, tithing had three purposes, and I believe those purposes are still in effect today, even though they might apply differently. I think one of the reasons was to support the Levites. So when the Levite's turn came to serve his term in the temple, he was supported by the people. And I think in the same way, as people serve in church building, whether it's the ministry or missions, missionaries, I understand that your church has some missionaries that are abroad. And I'm sure you make that their needs are provided. And God bless you for that. So I think that this is still in effect. We need to support our workers. And we know that as a ministers, I don't know how you have it here, I guess, but I don't understand that you have paid ministry. So, because we also have jobs. But let's look at some scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight because we're trying to follow this blueprint. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13, it says, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." I think that can be more than money. I think that can be you encouraging the brothers after they have taught you through preaching. You can encourage them and thank them and write them notes showing them how their preaching made a difference in your life and how it encouraged you and how it deepened your walk with God. But I think it can also be finances. It's a blessing. If we've had that happen in our situation, just out of nowhere, somebody would give us a financial gift. And it's a blessing tremendously. Galatians 6:2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word," so that is you, if you are being taught in the word, "communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And that communicate means share. Share with him that teacheth. I think another way they used the tithe was to for the use of the temple and the great feasts. We read that in the Old Testament. And I think in the same way, we use it for the use of the church and for the kingdom of God. So you have a lot of events. And I don't know, so downstairs, I see people coming with a lot of food, snacks. You have the church to maintain. There's a lot of reasons that the church needs money. A church needs money to function. And whoever takes care of your finances knows that the church is expensive. So we tithe and we use that money to help take care of the church and the events that the church hosts. And I saw you do that on Sunday. You had an offering for, I think it was Iraq, and then next Sunday you're having an offering for the general fund. And I assume that goes to help support the church and to take care of the maintenance and the costs of the church. Let's see if we can find something in the Bible. Acts 4, verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." So where there was a need, they were able to supply that need. Nehemiah 10, it says, "And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites take tithe, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithe unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house." So if you're looking for a gauge, how much should I give to the general fund? So here it says that they gave a tithe of the tithe. So if you give 10%, you have 10%. If we use that as a rule, you give 10% as a general. So then out of that 10%, you give a tenth to the church, which would be just a 1% of your tithing. or of your income. I don't think that's enough, but if you want to use the tithe, which is tenth, then that is what it would come out to. And I think the main one is to support the poor. Do you have any poor people in Pennsylvania? We went on a little walk today. We've done some driving around. I don't think I saw any poor places. Like, it looked like those people, they're poor. I'm sure you have needy people. I'm sure there are poor people among you. The Bible has a lot to tell us about the poor that are among us. And what are we doing to help them? What are we doing about it? Proverbs 31 is talking about the women. It says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And once again, it takes somebody that is observing. It takes somebody that is aware. Somebody that is in tune with the Spirit. Because sometimes they are very poor in ways other than finances. And if we look downstairs, there's a big need. There's a big need for those children, not only for money, but for the grace of God. And if we're willing to pour ourselves into that, I trust God will bless your efforts in that. But there might also be a need they have. Maybe they, I don't know if they tell you where they're going. Mom said something about, I can't make the house payment. And if you hear that, and you know it's an opportunity, take it. Take all the opportunities you have. Well, maybe I should be careful as I say that. One of the brothers in church, we were talking about this, and he said he refused to give somebody money the other day. He was at Royal King, and as he was walking out the drive, this guy on an electric scooter cruises up beside him and says, hey, I'm really hungry. And he said the guy was really well fed. He didn't look hungry. So he says, okay, I'll tell you what, you just come over here to McDonald's with me and I'll buy you something. And the guy didn't look too pleased about that. And he says, okay. And he was going to, but then he noticed that he had a lot of jewelry and he had a phone. It didn't look like he was lacking anything. I'm not sure how the whole conversation went, but the guy pulled up beside them again before they got to McDonald's and he said, you know what, I think if you can afford earrings and a nose ring, and your scooter and your phone, you're probably not too hungry. I don't remember what the guy's response was, but he ended up not feeling that it was right for him to give this person money. And I think we need to be sensitive to that. Not everybody needs money, at least not for the right reason. There were other situations where, actually it was the same guy, was at a gas station. I guess this person sees needs. He was at a gas station, and this old lady comes crying to him and says, I'm out of gas, and I don't have any money. I need to put gas in my car. And I says, oh, that's fine. I can put gas into your car. And she was asking for money. So he walks over to the pump, and he puts in his credit card, and he starts filling up the car, and it was just a few gallons went into the car. So the woman didn't have a need for gas. Why did she want money? Why did she want money? And I think that's where we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He leads us. Many of those people are just ready for their next high. That's all they're looking for. It's just their next shot of drugs. So I think we have to be careful that we're not supporting somebody's habit of doing drugs. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 says, if there be any among you, a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Here it uses the term lend. We've been blessed by people that let us use their money, and they say, hey, you can use our money, and we pay it back, and they don't charge us interest. And it's been a tremendous blessing. If you have young families that are trying to get on their feet and you have the ability, I would encourage you to bless them in that way. It's been such a kind of a humiliating blessing for us. I trust God will bless the person that has blessed us. Farther down, it says, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand into. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. They're always going to be here. If you want to see them, they're there. I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. So look for them. Be aware. Yeah, I think about the rich young ruler again. Give to the poor. And he couldn't do it. So what are some ways that we can do that practically? Spontaneous giving, practical everyday life. Maybe I'll share some ways that we do it, or I like to do it. And then I would like to open it just for a few minutes, just to see if anybody has ways they could share with us how you give spontaneously. Some things I like to do is be aware at the grocery store. So if you're at the grocery store, and I've seen this happen, you can see it's a young mom, not a plain person, and she has her cart full of stuff, and she comes to the cash register, and it doesn't work. Her credit card doesn't work, and she gets all flustered and frustrated, and you go up and you say, hey, can I pay? And they don't know what to say. What a joy. It's such a blessing, and it's also an opportunity to share the love of God with them, because they say, why would you do that? Why would you pay my $300 shopping cart load of groceries? Well, you see, there's something in me, the love of God, that I want to share with you. It causes opportunity to witness. If you want to do it more discreetly, I don't know if you have any accounts at your local stores, but that is a blessing. If you can go into your local hardware or grocery store and you say, hey, does anybody have a bill here, an account that needs to be paid? A person that you know that is struggling financially. And you say, I would like to pay that for them. Don't tell them. Don't tell them it was me. But I would like to just clear it for them. The person at the cashier, who is the cashier, will say, wow, what caused him to do that? And you have an opportunity to share the love of God with them. I think that is a good way to give so nobody knows it. Are you okay with giving it, your money and your resources, and nobody knows it? Is that okay with you? It should be. I have already, and I don't know if it's a good idea. They call it paying forward at a drive-thru. You say, hey, I'd like to pay the person's bill behind me as well. I've heard later that it can be frustrating to fast food workers because all of a sudden it slows them down and it becomes a mess. But I have had that happen to me. I pull up to the window and say, oh, the guy in front of you paid. Well, thank you. And the only thing you can do is praise the Lord, because you don't know the person. You don't know why he would have done it. But it inspires me to give myself. And most times you say, oh, that's fine. I'll pay the person behind me. I'd like to pay theirs. And I've heard that those chains can go on for a long time. I'm not sure if that's like I said, it can cause some confusion too. Do you have any ideas? Any ways that, or any testimonies of your giving spontaneously in a way that we can use in our lives? That's fine. Maybe you can share with each other afterward. I would like to warn us yet about the dangers of withholding our time and our resources and our money from the poor. I don't think there are any blessings. And the Bible talks about this quite a bit. I'm going to read a few verses here. See, I might have to skip over some of them. It says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." If you feel the prompt of the Holy Spirit, that person needs help, and you refuse, that person shall have many a curse. So if it feels like your money is flying away, it can't, where is it going? Well, maybe you need to start listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying and start sharing your money where the Holy Spirit directs. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Don't be stingy. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And then it talks about robbing God. And if you want to incur the wrath of God, hoard the resources that he gave you, and then see how his wrath is stirred. I don't think we take it seriously enough. I don't think I feel it enough. The danger and the separation it causes if I refuse to give of the resources that God gave me. How much should I give? We're going to have to keep moving here. Every man shall give as he is able. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So, is 10% enough? See, in the Old Testament, we have a lot of commandments. Then when Jesus came, he made them more so. An example would be in Matthew 5, and we have a lot of these examples in Matthew 5. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." So he raised the standard. So I think if you want to use 10%, it should be your bare minimum. Because any of us in here has the ability to give way more than 10%. I'm sure of that. So if you want to use that standard, that should be your bare minimum, because I think Jesus would say, "Whoa, how much money do you have in your savings account? Well, how much is in your checking account? Well, why aren't you giving more?" And I would like to ask you some questions that will cause me to cringe a little bit. So what are you doing with your discretionary income? Discretionary income is money that is just left over after the bills are paid and there's still money there. What are you doing with it? If you can track where that money goes, it will tell you where your heart is. Because it's money that you can decide. What am I going to do with it? Oh, I would like a new boat, or I would like to have a new tractor, or whatever it is. If you are channeling your money towards those areas that are pleasing your flesh, and we do it without thinking. We do it subconsciously. So I think we have to be aware and intentionally find out, where is it going? And if we can do that, it will tell us where our heart is. If you find it trickling or moving or flowing towards needy people, then God bless you. I hope you find much joy in that and you can continue doing that. What should I give? Does it have to be just money? I don't think so. I think maybe even it's a greater blessing than money. Even though it does not substitute giving money, I think we are required to share of our money. But I think when a brother takes the time to come and speak with me, that's a blessing. A brother that is able to recognize, hey, he needs encouragement, and he takes the time, maybe even time off work, and he comes and sees me. He says, "Hey, can we go for lunch?" I see you are struggling with something. That is a tremendous blessing. Be willing to give of your time. Whatever you give, just give. And give regularly. I found myself through different times in my life that my giving was very sporadic. It was not consistent at all. And it would be interesting for me to hear if you have a system set up that you make sure you are consistently giving. And we're considering making a separate checking account for tithing, where every time I make a deposit, and even I have direct deposit, automatically I would have a certain percentage of that go into my tithing account. And I would know that is the Lord's money. I cannot use that for myself, and I would find opportunity to share it. We don't have that set up yet, but I look forward to getting that in place. Be sure you give regularly out of the generosity of your heart as the Holy Spirit leads you. I'm going to ask us a few questions here, and I would like for you to answer them honestly in your heart. These come out of the book, God's Will for Finances. Are you currently spending on any items not needed for survival? If so, could any of them be dropped to enable giving? Can you all nod your head? Yeah. There's so many things that I don't need. Our house is full, and I don't need it to survive. And if I come home with another load, where should I have put that money? But we have necessities in life, but I think these are good questions for us. Are you currently spending on any items not needed for survival? Which maybe you have something at home that you don't use for very often. You could sell it and intentionally give that amount to a needy person. If your income suddenly dropped 10%, would you survive? If so, is there a reason you couldn't give 10% to those in need? I had to face this question in a serious way just recently. The school term ended, and going to my summer job is about a 15 to 20% pay raise. So, yeah, we made it. Teaching school, we had this amount, and we lived well. Okay, what's happening with that 20%? If those around you knew you were failing to give, would they agree there is no way you can give? I don't know if you talk about giving to each other. Do you hold each other accountable? Can you say, hey, when's the last time you just gave spontaneously? I think we trust that we give, we tithe. But encourage each other to give spontaneously. More than 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day, and 30% of those on less than $1 a day. Would you be comfortable explaining to them why you can't share? If we have a poor person walking in the door, are you willing to tell him why you have $50,000 in your savings account? For about $2, we can put a Bible into the hands of someone who is willing to walk miles to study the Word. Would those people understand your reasons for not helping? It kind of puts me to shame. Do you really believe God is providing for your natural needs? How does your giving look? Wow or why? I would like to close with the verse in Acts 20. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Might you experience those blessings. Thank you for your attention, and I look forward to tomorrow night as we discuss fruitful homes and how our homes can become fruitful. God bless you.